T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
London was calling, and the Red Sox and Yankees put on quite a show for the Brits, if the idea was to showcase everything we get dinged for as the ugly American. Oh, the Americans certainly obliged. The games were the equivalent of the 24-inch hot dog they served in the stadium concourse. Way too much beef and way too long. Two games, 50 runs scored, 65 hits. It took 9 hours and 6 minutes to play the 18 innings of baseball. This is what we wanted to show the UK. God save the Queen and God bless the bullpens. A full review of the who, what, why, what, where Wolves of London now on Sox Daily, my lord.
It's your Daily Sox Podcast. It's your Daily Sox Podcast. It's where you're going to find out what the Sox are doing. It's your Daily Sox Podcast. It's your Daily Sox Podcast. And here's your host, Josh Lewis.
Weirdest place I think I've ever done a podcast. Terminal 2 at London Heathrow. Speaking of ugly American, here I sit right in the middle of the terminal in a random black chair. Hello, hi, how are you? Hi, hello. If only His Royal Majesty Joseph Castiglione were here, he would protect me. And Lord Sean McDonough of Kakapipi Shire. Or the Honorable David O'Brien of Hoxton Mews upon Stratford, even Sir Robert Bradford of Canterbury, or the Archduke Thomas Caron of Shoreditch by Peckham, they all made appearances as I was merely fake Flemball on this trip, filling in for Will Fleming and doing pre and post. It was fun, though, obviously. This train, boarding now, will be calling at Turnbridge Wells, Waterloo East, Seven Oaks, High Brooms, Wadhurst, Paddock Wood, Staplehurst, Barden, Head Corn, Folkestown West, Sandling, Blackheath, Abbeywood, Woolwich Dockyard, and Glade Glen upon Dartford. So mind the gap. And fancy a boomstick? Yeah, they were actually selling those things, the 24-inch hot dog that they actually do have back in Texas, of all places. They decided they would bring that and the freeze from Atlanta, that guy in the superhero suit that runs very fast and tries to beat a less fast fan. All of that and pubs. Oh, did we hit some pubs? The Frog and Chimney, the Swan and Luggage. I don't know. You mash two nouns together with an ampersand in the middle. We saw the Duke of Sussex. We saw Prince Harry. And we saw the Duchess Meghan Markle, Northwestern's very own. Filmmaker and Yankee fan Spike Lee was there. He was trying to seek out Mookie Betts. You might remember Spike Lee played the character Mookie in his 1989 film, Do the Right Thing. Some would suggest doing the right thing right now would be trading for massive bullpen help. We'll get to that in just a moment. This was such a weird contingent that showed up. The Yankees had, well, they had Reggie Jackson, they had Carlos Beltran, they had Mariano Rivera, A-Rod technically, although he was there on ESPN's dime. Nick Swisher was everywhere. I saw Sam Horn for the Red Sox. And Angel Hernandez was omnipresent. This is what we want to do, is reward Angel Hernandez with a free trip to London. We're supposed to put our best foot forward, MLB, and you're bringing Angel Hernandez, who was booed, by the way. Now there are some intelligent baseball fans in Europe. Angel's brand is global. He can get booed anywhere. So here's the deal, guys. Last time the Red Sox were 10 games out at the end of June was in 1998. Tom Brady was still in college. Aerosmith had not yet released Don't Want to Miss a Thing as a single. And the hit movie at the time was The Big Lebowski. And the dude did not abide in London. 10 out would be their fate if they couldn't win Saturday. It would be 11 out if they couldn't win Sunday. And with all the pomp and circumstances, we get started on Saturday for you. That game got very quickly all sixes and sevens, as the Londoners say. Well, sixes and sixes, actually. Each team with a six-run first inning. Seriously, neither starting pitcher, Porcello, or Tanaka survived the first inning. Just a sixth game since the Titanic left port here in Southampton, England, since 1912, in which both teams scored six in the first. Last time it was 30 years ago, Toronto at Oakland. That was a Frank Wills against Curt Young game. They actually only finished 10-8. This one would finish 17-13, Yankees. Perilously close to 17-14, right? That was a New York over New England thing in a Super Bowl, if memory serves. So about Saturday, we saw the most hits in England since the Rolling Stones were popular. 37 hits in the game. And the first inning by the numbers, 92 pitches thrown, 4 pitchers used, 20 plate appearances for the 12 runs, 10 hits and 15 at-bats, 58 minutes total time, 6-6 after one inning. The over-under on this game back in Vegas was 11.5 for the game. It was 12 runs after one inning. The Super Bowl, you might remember this year, was 13-3 as a final. We had that many points or runs, if you will, whatever, by the sixth inning. And we note there have been 24 NFL games in London all time. 15 times a team has failed to make it to a score of 17. The Yankees did what the Lions, the Vikings, and Raiders and others did not do. So a 17-13 final, only the 10th ever Major League game to end that way. There have been 110 in the NFL. Only the 18th time in Red Sox history that both teams combined to score 30 runs, second time against the Yankees. Most Red Sox pitchers used in a 9-inning game ever against the Yankees. That number was 8. And remember, there have been more than 2,200 games between these two teams. Michael Chavis had 2 jacks in this game. Union jacks, if you will. 2 3-run shots, so he drove in 6 runs from the number 8 spot. No Red Sox first baseman had ever done that before. And there had been only 4 instances of a team of scoring 13 and still losing in the last 10 years, most of them at Coors Field. And this one, you know, as we look at the line score here, we said we wanted to bring America's heartland to Europe. We kind of did, because if you look at the line score, it was an Iowa zip code up top for the Yankees. They went 602-63. And somewhere in here, there's a Brexit joke for the starting pitchers, because they both tanked in the first inning. Most hits the Red Sox had ever allowed in a game against the Yankees was 30 on September 28 of 1923. They didn't quite get to that, but we were looking it up, we'll put it that way. There was a pretty good amount of European fandom that was really into this, and they really tried to hang in there for the full almost 5 hours of this game. There were flag bearers and flames shooting out as the players took the field, so that was exciting. Although the fur of poor Wally, the mascot, almost got singed right off because no one told poor Wally about what to expect fire-wise pregame. They did it up big with Alan Roach, the PA announcer for the Vikings, the Colorado Avalanche. He's the voice of NFL events worldwide, the PA announcer at 5 Olympic Games. So they had a big voice guy, big presentation, the Duke and Duchess there. And it just went on forever. 422 pitches. Mike Schworn was the fourth Red Sox reliever ever to allow 8 runs in an inning and a third. First one in 61 years, by the way. 422 pitches total, not exactly a jolly good representation of what the American pastime is all about. So, as we flipped over to Sunday, hoping things could get a little bit better, the old 59-pitch, 9-run top of the seventh may have done the chaps in slightly. Marcus Walden, 4 batters and no one retired. Barnes, 4 batters, 1 retired. Josh Taylor, 4 batters, 2 retired. But by then, what was once a 4-2 Red Sox lead, actually, a 4-0 Red Sox lead at one point, it turned into 11-4 New York. So, yes, 2 straight games. The Yankees ran off 11 straight runs at one point. They would add a 12th run in the eighth. Yankee starter Stephen Tarpley allowed 4 runs, went 1 inning, and they won this thing anyway. Just like Tanaka, who had he had 2/3 of an inning, allowing 6 runs, and they won anyway on Saturday. Key player for the Yankees, as it turned out, Luis Sessa. He had 4 scoreless in this game, kind of stemming the tide, and that was a key for the Yankees, who have now won 13 of 14, and they are a staggering 11 up on the Sox. We need to mention there was a spirited Boston comeback once they were down 12-4, just like a spirited comeback the night before when they were down 17-6 and came charging back. Little 2-out thunder from Vasquez, a 2-RBI single. Bradley, who had a nice series, an RBI single. The number 9 hitter, Sam Travis, an RBI single off Zach Britton, no less, to make it 4 across in the eighth and lead chip down to 12-8. Tying man moves on deck as Mookie Betts steps up. He walks against Zach Britton. That's right, Britton and Britton. So the tying man does come up, and it's only the hottest hitter the Sox have had since the start of May, the man with the number 2 batting average in the American League, the 22-year-old, got-to-be-an-all-star, Rafael Devers. And against the big-money closer, he goes up 3-0, takes the strike to make it 3-1. But then he grounds out to the only man in the league with a higher batting average than his own, DJ LeMahieu, who had a huge series with seven hits. Final was indeed 12-8. Little note here, a little shout out to Christian Vasquez, who had a 3 RBI Sunday, including a home run. And Vasquez now with 11 on the year. Last year he had 3. 11 this year, that's more homers than Judge and Stanton combined, which is kind of cool. But you had Eddie Rodriguez walking 4 in this game before he even got 7 outs. He had walked 7 Yankees last September. This was a 75-pitch, 3 innings for Eddie, and they really needed him to go deep. And you know, we can't say, oh, he's young, he's still learning, blah, 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 anymore. Because Eduardo Rodriguez is older than Aaron Nola, Luis Severino, Jose Barrios, just to name a few. He did soldier through 5 1/3, threw 115 pitches, most in a game since 2017. But he really needed to give the team 7 innings, gave him 5 1/3. Other notes from the game. Henry VIII won the mascot race, overtaking Freddie Mercury, who had actually won it the night before. The Freeze is now 1-1. He was shocked by some New Yorker in that race from foul line to foul line on Saturday night. Sunday, the Freeze blew by some dude. And it kind of took everybody's eyeballs off the 20 runs allowed by the Red Sox bullpen in 9 innings of work while in London. Blown saves number 16 and 17. Barnes now with 6 of those and an ERA in the mid-4s. Workman and Walden next with 3 blown saves apiece. Obviously, this is suboptimal. The bullpen overall leading the American League in blown saves. And only the Mets have a worse bullpen now in the entirety of Major League Baseball. Maybe we need to take your mind off of everything for a little bit and mention that, hey, Sam Travis made $60,000 by becoming the 26th man and actually getting to play a little bit. Yeah, every player got $60,000 for making this trip. That was part of the collectively bargained deal. And Sam Travis was unwittingly part of the man on the street frivolity we rolled out with upon arrival in London. Most of us don't frivol often enough, but I asked various Brits, male and female, who do you think is Boston's favorite baseball son? Is it Ted Williams or Sam Travis? And most everybody basically has us preparing now for the renaming ceremony when the Sam Travis Tunnel opens up. I will play you a little bit of this, if you like, in short order. But first, I thought you'd like to hear from Red Sox team president Sam Kennedy, who was instrumental in making this whole London thing happen. And I know it wasn't exactly what he had hoped with an 0-2, but we caught up with him before the game started, thank God, because otherwise he might not have wanted to be so friendly talking to us. But here's a little bit from Sam, if you'd like to hear that. Sam, it seems like the lack of chaos is pretty impressive here. Everybody seems to have a handle on what's going on. How thrilled are you with how it's coming off?
Well, we're ecstatic to be here. Very grateful to Major League Baseball and all the great people on Park Avenue who worked hard to pull this off. It's a great environment, great opportunity for Major League Baseball to highlight two great clubs. And most importantly now, we need to focus on getting 2 wins while we're here.
Yeah, and I'm going to go back to that one in a second. But I know you're on various committees that basically want to pollinate the game, is what this comes down to. You want to spread the seeds as far as the wind can carry them. And I guess the simple question is, what's next? I mean, I know who's coming next year to London, but maybe where else would a Red Sox or a Yankees or somebody go in the future?
Well, I know that Commissioner Manfred's talked about playing somewhere on the continent in Europe, and we've talked about Paris, we've talked about Munich, we've talked about Spain, you know, maybe Madrid or Barcelona, but we'll hopefully get through these games first. We'll see how the Cubs and Cardinals do next year, but it's just a great opportunity. If you're going to grow an industry with technology the way it is today, the world being so small, to take your sport live to a different country, new eyeballs, is probably the best way to grow the game. And we're really excited to be a small part of it here as MLB takes baseball to the next level.
Just to wrap real quick with you, the season obviously not exactly what anybody thought. From the David Ortiz situation, which thankfully we're getting some clarity and hopefully closure on soon, to the team not being what everybody wanted it to be. As we hit this milepost of being a little bit past halfway, is it time to maybe take a deep cleansing breath and just say, okay, here's what we got coming up, we know what we need to do?
Yeah, we feel like we haven't had that 10-game, proverbial 10-game winning streak that just about every team has throughout the course of a 162-game season. So we definitely feel that a lot of the solutions to the problems that we have will come internally. This is a great, talented group. We saw what we're capable of last year, but there's no hiding it. It has been frustrating, discouraging, sort of taking one step forward, then a couple steps back. But I do think we've got a lot of life left in us, and I think we're capable of making a run. We've shown signs of it, and hopefully coming over here to London with a sellout crowd of 60,000 plus will be just what the doctor ordered to get us going, get us on track. And I feel like I've said that before over the course of the season, but we are now at the halfway mark, and we've got some guys coming back which will help, and I like our chances for being right in this thing down the stretch.
Thank you, Sam.
Thanks, Josh.
All right, thanks very much to Sam Kennedy. And again, you know, the whole London thing, it wasn't perfect, but it was fun. And as I said on the air on Sunday, it was almost like the Brits and the baseball folks from the U.S. traded apologies. After the Saturday game, it was kind of like the Americans all wanted to say, it's not always like this. Trust us. This is not representative. It was at the same time that the Brits were saying to us about the weather, the exact same thing. Hey, trust us. It's not always going to be like this. We're very, very sorry. This is not representative of what usually happens over here. It's not ever 92, really. Well, occasionally 92. That's very rare. And that's really what we were saying about, well, there's not always a 4-hour, 42-minute game. It's very, very rare. But then they followed right up with another almost 4.5 on Sunday, and at least the Brits kept up their end of the I'm sorry, because indeed it was about 73-74 on Sunday. It was a really, really nice day. A lot of foul territory in that ballpark came into play a couple times, about 4,000 more square feet of foul territory than even the Oakland Coliseum, which is kind of a joke. Michael Chavis made probably the best running catch in foul territory, but everybody seemed to really dig it. There was a three-day fan fest event that was very popular. I thought Major League Baseball did a nice job trying to spell everything out kind of literally. They put runs, hits, errors up on the line score, not R-H-E. They didn't worry about MV for mound visits or anything like that. They kept it as simple as possible. But heck, there was an infield fly rule in the very first inning. There was a catcher's interference on Sunday. A lot of things. It was kind of like, you know what? We don't have time to explain this to you. Just sit back and enjoy. And I think most of all, the Londoners did. So we'll leave you with one of the many interviews that I did with the men and women on the street of London. They were all very friendly. And these are a couple of guys, Abdullah and Saj, that I thought were probably most representative of all the back-and-forth Q&As that I did. What do you know about the Red Sox? What do you know about baseball? I'll leave you with that because I got to go catch a flight now. And a quick reminder here that the podcast is kind of going dark, but not really. There will be, we usually do this after games that are played Monday through Friday, right? So because there is no Monday game, we pick this up recapping, well, we would normally be recapping a Tuesday game on Wednesday. We had Wednesday, Thursday, Friday podcast planned for the week of the 4th of July. But I will be out of the country, staying over here in Europe. I'm going to frolic a little bit. I think we've all earned that after this season the Red Sox are putting us through. So I do have some interviews in queue, as they say over here. You'll be hearing from the TV guys. You'll be hearing from Dave O'Brien. You'll be hearing from the Eck. You'll be hearing from Jerry Remy. All those interviews will run instead of game recaps. And then, after the All-Star break, we're back to our regularly scheduled programming. But anyway, enjoy Saj and Abdullah. The Man on the Street interview is once again the Red Sox drop a pair of very high-scoring, very long games in London. Here you go.
I don't know a lot about baseball, but
well, tell me what you think you do know, and how do you know it? I mean, because I know the games aren't on TV much here.
All right, so you got four bases.
Your
rounders kind of, but you got four bases. I think if the pitchers don't pitch correctly, then the batsman or well, not batsman, but the batter gets a walk.
Yeah, you got it.
Three strikes and you're out.
This guy's good. He's a friend of yours? You know this guy?
Yeah, definitely. All I know is about home run. If you hit it out of the park, you have to run all the way around the bases.
So far, you two are by far the most knowledgeable baseball fans I've met in London.
I watch a lot of TV. What can I say?
Yeah. Have you seen it in the movies?
In the movies, that's basically where I got my information from.
Okay. And have you actually watched games on television the whole way through?
I've been to New York twice, and I'm hoping next time I go, my cousin's going to take me to a Yankee game.
Right on. Okay. Well, since we're from Boston, I
hate you.
So. Fair enough. I'll say
that. We're sworn enemies now. So I'm going to ask you some baseball terms. You'll probably get a couple of them. Maybe you'll get all of them. I'm going to guess you're going to get 10% of these. But if you do, I got a prize for you. So what is the World Series?
Is that the championship in the NBA?
Yeah, that's right.
In the last 16 team, maybe.
Do you think it's kind of a dick move that we call it the World Series, but only American teams can play in it?
Yeah, it's kind of confusing. Why don't you just call it a championship? But, you know, it is what it is at the end of the day.
See, that's why we get the ugly American thing on stuff like that. What about a fly ball? What is a fly ball?
Fly ball. Oh, that sounds...
You're passing on this one?
Give it to... Can we work as a team?
Yeah, you guys can work as a team. You know, what's a fly ball?
So I'm guessing a fly ball is a ball that's not accepted. Like, as in it's not caught by the receiver?
That's not a bad guess. It's actually when you hit it and it goes way, way up in the air.
Oh,
flies. Were you going to say that?
I didn't say something like that.
No, you're full of crap. You're not going to say that. What about a shortstop? What's a shortstop?
Would it be when the ball doesn't go far enough, when the bat hits it?
Because it goes short.
It goes short.
So it stops.
Yes, basically, yeah.
Do you agree or disagree with this?
I agree with that.
You agree. Okay. Now you're both terrible at this now.
Oh, well.
what about... I'm going to go to the guy that's actually watched some baseball. What's a grand slam?
Grand slam.
It's not just a breakfast at Denny's. What is a grand slam?
Grand slam. Is it when the other team gets no points at all?
I would say you're close, but you're not close. You have any guess? A grand slam? I know. We've got weird nomenclature for everything.
Is it when grand slam? I don't know. It may be when a team gets beaten by a specific margin, but I don't know the margin that they get beaten
by. That's actually a really creative, good guess. It's not even close, but that's a really good guess. Well, okay, how about this one? What about a triple? What is a triple?
A triple?
A triple is when you have all three people on every single base, and then the batsman hits like a home run, and all three of them, or all four of them, get to go around.
On a triple.
On a triple, yeah.
I'm going to give you about 15% credit for that, because you're not that far off on that one. What about Big Poppy? What do you think a Big Poppy is?
Big Poppy. I have no idea. I'm going to try to guess that one.
That must be like an out of the park or home run.
A really big, big poppy. What about a double play? Have you heard of a double play? You need to know this stuff when you go to Yankee Stadium. So.
Double play.
So many terms. Yeah. I want to ask you about football.
we do have so many terms. It's true. It's true.
Double play. I'll say when you have two people, not three people on the base.
That's not bad. I'm going to start giving you some answers here. Double play is when there are two outs on one batted ball. So it's two for the price of one, basically.
Oh, yeah.
Right? That makes sense. What about a line drive? Have you ever heard of a line drive?
I've heard of it, but I just haven't paid attention. a line drive.
That was your story in school, too, wasn't it? You were there, you just weren't paying attention.
Most of the time.
Yeah.
A line drive. Do you have any idea?
No, pass on that one. That's just a very hard hit ball. It goes straight in a straight line very fast. That's right. Last one for you. Have you ever heard of Tommy John surgery? What is Tommy John surgery?
Is it a common injury?
It's an actual
common
surgery.
Treatment for a common injury in baseball.
What part of the body do you think?
Wrist.
And don't say anything dirty.
Wrist.
You guess wrist. What's your guess?
I'm going to go for wrist.
Wrist, two wrists. You guys are so close. Elbow. Very, very good. Because when you throw, that's where you put the torque. You think shoulder?
Because a lot of pitchers, when they always come in for like surgeries with their shoulders and whether or not they can continue in their career and stuff like that.
He's actually right.
You got everything wrong, right?
Yeah. No, you guys are definitely on pace for a prize. There's no question about it. Okay, last little project here. I'm going to give you some names of players. These are real players. And some of them I completely made up, to be honest with you. But I'm going to give you one guy who's really good and one guy who's simply not. So I need you to see if you can pick out which one is the good player. It'd be like if I said Wayne Rooney and then a complete made-up guy. So, and by the way, I would flunk this because I don't know that much about soccer at all. So I'm going to start with the fish category. Johnny Dolphin or Mike Trout? Just top of your head. You think Mike Trout?
Yeah, Mike Trout.
Yeah,
he actually exists, and you're exactly right.
I've heard his name before.
Yeah, that's good. What about Mookie Betts or Slappy Tubbs?
Mookie Betts.
You think Mookie Betts? Do you think I made up Slappy Tubbs?
Yeah.
I did. You're exactly right. What about Manny Machado or Kevin Capenga?
Manny.
You're good. What about Carl Yastrzemski or Gavin Torleski?
Ooh, Torleski.
You think Torleski?
Torleski.
No. I know. Carl Yastrzemski was like a big Boston hero. They called him Yaz. And he smoked a lot of cigarettes.
While
and
playing baseball.
Yeah, well, not during the actual game. But yeah. But what about Dustin Pedroia or Carlos Bedoya?
Dustin.
You go into it. Dustin. He's another Red Sox favorite. That's good. Okay, these are all real people now. Pedro Martinez or Tyler Thornburg? So who's better? Who's better? Pedro or Tyler?
You go Tyler. Tyler.
And you go?
Tyler.
Tyler Thornburg. No, he's actually terrible. You guys are, I know, you're looking at each other like it's his fault. He's looking at you like it's your fault. Sam Travis or Ted Williams?
Sam Travis.
Okay, you guys are not good at this at all. Last one for you. Nomar Garcia Parra or Ramon Hernandez?
Ramon Hernandez.
For sure.
Yeah.
You're pissing off everybody in Boston now, because these are all Boston heroes that you're not getting. Very last one for you.
Wait, is Ramon Hernandez not a player?
He is a player.
I thought so.
Just not a good one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you played a while ago.
NBA one.
Yeah, well, you know, you'll get any NBA questions here. We're not doing that one. Last one for you. I'm going to have you fill in the blank of the team name.
Okay.
The nickname, for example, Liverpool is the Reds, right?
Yeah.
Bournemouth is the Cherries, I think, or something, right? Brighton's the Seagulls. So, do you know the Boston team name? You got Red Sox, you said?
Yeah.
Okay, that's good. Would you have known that?
No.
Okay. That's very honest.
Yeah.
We have a bunch of teams with the name Sox over in the States. We do. I don't know why that is, but we do.
Yeah, I was about to ask, why would that?
Yeah, why fascinate on the Sox?
Very particularly peculiar.
What about, can you name the team in Toronto? Which is technically not in America, but...
I was about to say Raptors, but it's not Raptors. Well,
Toronto,
It's on the tip of your tongue, isn't it? It's a bird. Not the mockingbirds, no.
Birds. No, I can't remember.
No, Blue Jays. That's okay.
Oh, Blue Jays. How did I not know that?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
That's okay. I still like you. It's fine. There are two teams in Chicago. Do you know either one of them? One is the Sox. I'm telling you, there's lots of Sox.
Chicago Red Sox.
No, because we're the Red Sox.
Green Sox.
White Sox. Yeah, that's good. And the last little game we're going to play, and thank you guys so much. You do get a prize. You've absolutely earned a prize here. Name the real teams. Here we go. You ready? The Chicago Mustangs.
Not a real team.
Not a real team. The San Francisco Silver Sox.
Real team.
That is a real team. Atlanta Hornets.
That is a real team.
You say it's a real team?
Yeah.
And what about the Houston Flames?
No.
The Cleveland Indians.
Yeah, that's a real team.
You got it? Yeah, real team. Minnesota Twins.
Yeah, that's a real team.
You got that one. The San Diego Padres.
That's a real team.
Yeah, it is a real team. And finally, the Colorado Rockies.
That's a real team as well.
You do know your baseball a little bit. Anything that we need to know in the States about why baseball is not a thing over here? Is it lack of exposure? Is it boring? Is it too American? What do you think it is?
Like when we're younger, we just don't play it.
I think it's not at the grassroots level, which is why it's not like picked up in like... by a lot of children at a young age. That's why. I mean, that's the main reason. Because in this country, we play football, cricket, at a young age. That's why we grow up with those sports.
But you were saying that when you're in New York, you actually want to go see a game.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Because I have family in New York, so it's part of their culture.
That's right.
So it was really interesting to see family over there kind of embrace it and kind of really enjoy it, really.
All right, that was cool of those chaps, I thought. Gotta run, gotta fly, literally. This is Josh Lewin. Thanks so much for tuning in and listening all the way through. This is Sox Daily.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.